Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Marx's Capital Illustrated and Illustrated Introduction is a graphic, highly accessible adaptation of Karl Marx's Capital, written by David Smith and illustrated by Phil Evans. Rather than presenting Das Kapital as a dense theoretical classic, the book recasts its central ideas in a visual format that lowers the barrier for new readers while preserving the basic structure of Marx's critique of capitalism. It is a nonfiction introduction that combines political economy, social theory, and comic-style illustration. The purpose is educational to explain how capitalism works, how value and labor are connected, and why Marx saw the system as unstable and exploitative. The book is especially aimed at readers who want an entry point into Marxist thought without having to begin with the full original text. Its appeal lies in the combination of condensed explanation, humor, and visual clarity, making a notoriously difficult work easier to approach without fully simplifying away its political edge. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a visual gateway into Marx's difficult economic argument. The book's first major achievement is format itself. Capital is one of the most intimidating works in political theory, but Smith and Evans turn it into an illustrated guide that can be read as an introduction rather than as a specialist commentary. This matters because Marx's concepts such as commodity, labor power, surplus value, and capital accumulation are often blocked by the density of the original prose. The graphic presentation breaks these ideas into short, readable sequences and uses images to restate abstract relations in concrete form. That gives the reader a structural map of Marx's argument before they encounter the original text. The book does not try to replace Capital. Instead, it functions as a bridge text. Its educational value comes from making the logic of Marx's analysis visible, especially for readers who learn better through diagrams, scenes, and visual analogies than through long discursive explanation. Secondly, how the book contrasts proletarian labor and bourgeois capital. A central theme in the book is the basic movement of capitalist society through two opposing positions: the worker who sells labor for wages and the capitalist who uses money to generate more money. The book explains this relationship in a simplified but recognizably Marxian way, showing that the proletarian begins with labor power and must use wages to buy commodities for survival, while the bourgeois capitalist begins with money and turns it into commodities and profit. This contrast is not just descriptive. It is the basis of Marx's claim that capitalism organizes production around exploitation. By presenting the circulation of money, labor, and commodities in visual form, the book makes the system feel less like a neutral market and more like a structured social relation. Readers are encouraged to see that inequality is not accidental, but built into the way value is produced and realized. The book's clear sequencing helps explain why Marx treated class relation, not individual merit, as the key analytic unit. Thirdly, Marxist critique of exploitation, commodity fetishism, and social relations. The book also introduces the broader critical framework behind Marx's theory. Rather than treating commodities as simple objects with prices, it helps readers see them as outcomes of social labor and unequal power. This is where Marx's critique becomes more than an economic account. The market hides the human relations that produce goods, making exploitation appear natural or invisible. The illustrated format is useful here because it can stage these abstractions in memorable ways. Visual satire and comic exaggeration help reveal the gap between surface appearances and underlying relations, which is a core Marxist insight. The book's emphasis on capitalism as a system of competition, accumulation, and dependency reinforces the idea that social life under capitalism is organized around production for profit rather than production for use. In that sense, the book serves as a condensed lesson in Marx's critique, explaining not only what capitalism does, but how it shapes perception and normalizes its own logic. Fourthly, revolution, socialism, and the political implications of crisis. The book does not stop at diagnosis. It moves toward political consequence. One of its recurring claims is that capitalism creates contradictions and crises that cannot be permanently resolved within the system itself. The search for profit, competitive expansion, and periodic instability all point toward breakdowns that Marx viewed as inherent rather than exceptional. From there, the book presents Marx's argument that workers, as a class, must organize politically if a different social order is to emerge. This is why the text is not merely explanatory, but explicitly critical of capitalist permanence. Its discussion of revolution and socialism makes the book more than a neutral summary of economic theory. It frames Marx as someone diagnosing a social system while also arguing for collective action against it. For readers, this section clarifies that capital is not just about markets or prices. It is about the political question of who controls production, who benefits from it, and whether a system based on accumulation can be made just. Lastly, Why the book stays relevant through crisis, wit, and accessibility. Another important dimension of the book is its attempt to connect Marx's 19th century analysis to contemporary capitalism. The presentation emphasizes recurring crises, global instability, and the continued dominance of labor, profit, and investment as signs that Marx's core questions remain current. This contemporary relevance is strengthened by the book's use of humor and illustration, which makes a serious political text feel approachable without reducing its content to a joke. The wit is not decorative. It helps sustain attention while signaling that difficult theory can be learned outside the conventions of academic prose. That makes the book stand out among popular Marx introductions, which often sacrifice either clarity or intellectual seriousness. Here, the visual form and concise narration work together to preserve the force of Marx's critique while broadening the audience. Readers who want an introduction to Marx, an alternative teaching tool, or a compact refresher on the logic of capitalist critique will find this combination especially useful. In conclusion, Marx's Capital Illustrated is best suited to readers who want an entry point into Marx without beginning with the full weight of Das Kapital. That includes students, general readers, teachers looking for a classroom supplement, and anyone curious about how Marx explained capitalism, class, profit, and crisis. Its main benefit is not that it simplifies Marx into slogans, but that it translates a difficult theoretical structure into visual and sequential form. Readers come away with a clearer grasp of how Marx links labor, commodities, accumulation, exploitation, and instability. Compared with many other introductions, the book stands out because it is both interpretive and graphical. The illustrations do real analytic work rather than serving as decoration. It also keeps Marx's political edge intact, so the result is more than a friendly summary. For readers who want a compact, engaging, and conceptually serious way into Marx's political economy, this book offers a rare balance of accessibility, fidelity, and critical force. If you would like to support David Smith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.